Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, UEFA says it has reluctantly approved the staging of two domestic league games overseas. It goes on to say it will work to ensure it doesn't set a precedent. Now, the governing body has granted permission for La Liga and Serie A to stage a game each abroad this winter, meaning that the European League games will be played on different continents for the first time in a potentially incendiary move. Michael Delaney is chief football writer with the London Independent, and he's on the line. There's a lot to be confused about, Miguel, in this story, because
yes.
The UEFA has approved it, but they say they didn't want to. And you might explain to us then why this could be potentially incendiary. But first, too, why have they done something that they didn't want to do?
Well, I mean, it's often said that football sort of predicts a lot of wider society where stuff is road tested, right down to fake news and all this. And this is almost a classic of kind of a post-truth era stuff that football has fallen into. So yes, you have this bizarre situation where UEFA says it doesn't want to allow something by sanctioning it, and it says it doesn't want to set a precedent by setting a legal precedent, which is, I think, the real key here. Because good luck to any future legal case when you've allowed this. But I mean, it's incendiary because, I suppose, what, like, for all of football history, the idea that teams play league, their bread and butter, their core domestic games, their core league games in their own country is sacrosanct. Obviously, there are certain political allowances, like, say, Derry City in the League of Ireland, and a few other similar examples around the world. But that's different. This is basically a commercial enterprise where clubs want to play in different markets to spread their base, and that has all sorts of repercussions. Because I mean, it's something we've spoken about in the show before. It's how you get to the Super League, that there's like a small group of international clubs who suck up all interest and money. And the great fear among the sport is once you allow this, it's basically going to be the death knell for domestic leagues in a lot of markets. I mean, the League of Ireland, again, has a lot of experience of this from 60 years, really, of Match of the Day being beamed in and the attraction of that and how easy it is for people to get over to England. So now there's a fear of this across the planet, that something that a line has been crossed. This comes at a point where there's all sorts of like bigger actors and more powerful actors looking to change football, be it private equity groups to the owners of the major clubs to even autocratic states, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, what a lot of these actors would like is that football becomes, because of its immense power, it becomes this truly globalised game. You basically, like in the medium term future, that you have some sort of Super League or some sort of club cup with all these biggest clubs, I suppose, you know, going to where the biggest markets are, usually the States or the Gulf. And I mean, that is why all these various steps are so important, because for all UEFA's talk about, you know, preventing this and commitments, now they don't want to do it, this is just a step towards this. Once, like, if I'm speaking to people who work in this today, and especially people on the legal side of football, they say the legal precedent here is absolutely crucial. And it's all the more amazing because, you know, one of the arguments from within the UEFA over the last 24 hours is, say, they don't want to get into a battle with the Spanish League the Spanish League and Javier Tebas in the European Court of Justice over where this game can happen, and that they feel they potentially lose for all sorts of kind of commercial arguments. But UEFA actually have an existing protection from the European Commission going back to 1999, when the Belgian club Mouscron tried to play a UEFA Cup game in Lille across the border in France. And there they have a direct legal precedent that this very idea that they were protecting at the time, games in your own domestic market, are sacrosanct. And with this precedent, with this decision, they're essentially kind of exploding that, which is remarkable.
And what's in it for UEFA? I mean, you can understand what's in it for the clubs because they're trying to broaden their base. But for UEFA, what do they get?
Well, I mean, UEFA are beset by all sorts of forces. There's a much bigger argument to be had about how the major football governing bodies aren't fit for purpose. But just as an example of this, say, so UEFA at the moment currently has this very strong partnership with the European Club Association. This is the kind of the body that is supposed to represent clubs in Europe, but really is seen as a lobby group for the biggest clubs. So a lot of the kind of leaders involved in it, sorry, a lot of its previous leaders would have been kind of key to the Super League. People like Agnelli of Juventus or Ed Woodward at Manchester United. Now the ECA is its chair is actually Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president of Paris Saint-Germain, who's he's ultimately answerable to the Emir of Qatar. I mean, and that's just one example of all these forces that are, you know, acting on UEFA right now. So, I mean, it is in a difficult position. But what's amazing is how it just... But the other side of this as well is, so UEFA for 33 years have had a commercial partnership with this company called Team Marketing. They're the group that came up with the Champions League theme that everyone will be familiar with, the music, We Are the Champions, These Are the Champions, sorry. And the star ball that people will see on every Champions League night.
Yes.
That was ended this year, and UEFA instead replaced them with a commercial partnership with the US company Relevant. Now, this is actually amazing, really, and there's incredible hypocrisy and potential conflict of interest as regards UEFA going on here, not Relevant, this is particularly to UEFA, because Relevant to the company, the reason that the Spanish League has this opportunity is because they tried to do this in 2018 or 2019. That was blocked by FIFA, and Relevant were the company that took the legal case to potentially stage games in the States that forced a legal climb down from FIFA. So why is UEFA, if its main priority is to protect this sacrosanct idea of games in domestic markets, why are they getting into a partnership
with Relevant?
With a commercial entity that's looking to do the exact opposite.
And just in terms of who this affects most, I mean, what I see is that the fans, the local fans, right, you know, will really struggle to get to these games. I mean, let's look at what has been decided. So in Miami in December, you'll have Barcelona facing Villarreal. And then the other game is Milan playing Como in Perth. Now, if you're a local fan of those teams, you're unlikely to make those journeys, aren't you?
Yeah. And like, look, it's funny, to be fair. The one thing I would say is there's not actually that much resistance yet within Spain. I think that's partly because of how influential the two big clubs, Barcelona and Real Madrid, are, and how much they always argue about these things in terms of their own commercial opportunities. And a big thing here is other leagues are obsessed with how strong the Premier League is, especially financially. But yeah, I mean, this comes down to what football actually is. And look, you know, I'm Irish, obviously, I've grown up in Ireland, I've got family members who are United fans, Liverpool fans. This isn't a criticism of anyone who supports clubs from outside their community, but it is still a fact that the entire basis of football, like this worldwide club game, is based on clubs being anchored in their communities, and like that's actually what gives them importance. And I suppose this is exactly what we're talking there about fans being able to get to games. Although that sounds quite a trivial thing, it is just kind of another move towards unanchoring these mega clubs away from the communities they grew up in. So yeah, you're really kind of furthering these steps from actual local social institutions to become just these brands that float around the planet, you know, dropping their kind of their mini economy there and trying to suck up everything around it.
Mm-hmm. And you're pretty convinced that despite what UEFA say about not setting a precedent, that they have set a precedent with these two decisions.
Well, I mean, I was speaking to someone this morning and said, like, good luck anytime you're trying to fight this in court. If they try and block this again, any agitator or disruptor, any kind of Super League project can just point to this legal precedent as because it has broken something within football. And also, I mean, another thing, a key thing with the statement as well, they were talking about the commitment of member associations. Well, I mean, that's dependent on commitments by the current member associations. Leaderships can change, context can change. Also, crucially, this UEFA statement doesn't mention cup competitions. So I wonder whether that will be seen as some sort of potential outlet for this. But the whole thing, even at what you were referring to there earlier, Claire, about the apparent contradictions of this, it just shows it's like such a typical football fudge that just allows bigger repercussions in the future. This is basically how the Super League happened. And it's ironic because Ceferin, the UEFA president, he got such political play over being seen to kind of block the Super League. Yet almost every step he's taken since then, right down to what this kind of mess of an expanded Champions League is just feels a further step down the road to this actually happening, except being institutionalised under UEFA.
Miguel, thanks very much for joining us on the programme. Miguel Delaney there, chief football writer with the London Independent. Now, President Donald Trump has said he's considering invoking emergency powers to allow National Guard troops all across American cities. We'll hear more about that after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.